And so the question we have to ask ourselves, are we ready to leave behind the comforts of the palace to take up the toils of encouraging a beaten people and finishing an almost impossible task? Are we ready to sacrifice those things of comfort to us to do what God has called us to do? This is what Nehemiah is doing. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio. As we continue through Nehemiah, we have seen so far brokenness produce burden, and burden produce prayer. Today, in verses 8 through 11, Nehemiah anchors himself in God's promises and prepares for what comes next. As Nehemiah prays, we see the heart of a believer shaped by four essentials. Of course, prayer, worship, devotion, meaning spending time with God, and also a consistent study of God's Word. These quiet disciplines prepare him for the public challenges ahead. Soon, Nehemiah will step out in courage before the king and begin facing real opposition. But before God reveals walls through him, God strengthens his inner foundation first. Today we learn God prepares us privately before he uses us publicly, and the strength to face opposition tomorrow is built through faithfulness with God today. So, are you building private spiritual strength now for the challenges God may place before you later? Let's find out in today's lesson from Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, with the title, One Surrendered Life. Now here's Pastor Ben.
But I want you to notice, the building of the wall started in the heart way before Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem. How? Well, there was brokenness and there was repentance. It always starts here. I want you to note the prayer. The inner walls of the heart had to be built way before the physical walls of the city. The task? Remind God of his promises and remind the people of his promises. That's what's going on in Nehemiah's heart. The inner walls of his heart is already being built way before he even goes. And here's what I'm thinking. By way of application, if God's going to build our lives and he's going to restore relationships, he always starts with our hearts first. The change happens in the heart before we see any outward change. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Isn't it true physically? I always tell people the strongest muscle you need to work out is this, because you'll never hit the gym until you get it straight here. This is how it works, because your brain will always talk you out of it. How long ago? Oh. You go, well, Ben, what's the key? What's the key of our text? Well, jot this down, guys. It's repentance. Repentance in our hearts and our lives, returning back to God. We got to come back to God. And if we're going to see our lives built on his foundation, and we're going to see the miracles that we see in the restoration, we have to turn from sin and return to the Lord. And this is why Ezra penned in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, most people know this, and most people believe this was Ezra writing this, but hold your place here in Nehemiah and go over to 2 Chronicles 7:14, one verse. You guys know this, and it has great application. But Ezra writes in 2 Chronicles 7:14, we'll just believe that Ezra is writing this. Can't say for sure, but we're going to just for the sake of our study. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Word of God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal the land. This is a beautiful verse. Now, what we need to understand is the context of God's promise is to answer their prayer. He promises that if and when they humble themselves and they pray and they sought God's face, then he's going to do something for them. But I want you to see it, guys, verse 14. He says, if my people, who's he talking about? He's talking about the people of Israel right here in this context. The people of Israel. If Israel will What? If Israel, who is called by my name, but we're also called by his name. Oh, no, not Israelites. The church did not replace Israel, but we're called Christians after Jesus Christ. Christian means Christ-like. Christ-like. You know, in the early church, they didn't call them Christians. Nobody called themselves Christians. If you said, hey, I'm a Christian, you got beat up. You got persecuted. Back in the early church, they called it the way. Are you part of the way? And now, sometimes we're proud. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But we are called by that name. We're if my believers are called by my name, he says, but we got to do something. You go, what? He says, humble yourself. Humble yourself. There's something naturally humble in true prayer. You go, why, Pastor? Because it recognizes the answers are not in self. They're in God. And God promises something special to humble praying people. Ever be in a prayer meeting and, man, we just need to be humble. And people look at us and really, we're broken. We're broken. And we're blessed, but we're broken. And we just need to go, Lord, I'm broken. And I need you. And everybody goes, oh, you? Yeah. Yeah. But you're in the Bible all day long. This is what you do. But it's like, yeah, but I'm flesh and blood and I struggle. And he says, if my people are called by, will you do something? Will you humble yourselves? He says, and turn from their wicked ways. The promise of hearing answering prayer is conditional. Do you see that? Turn. God is asking to humble themselves, to pray, to seek, but also turn from their wicked and evil ways. Listen, church. It wasn't enough to merely turn their hearts to God. They must also turn their life to God. Let me show you what repentance looks like. You ready? Oftentimes we think repentance is 360. It's not. It's a 180. You're walking this way, and all of a sudden you go, oh, I need to turn from my ways. Okay, so I'm going to turn, and I'm going to go back. I'm turning. I'm not going this way anymore. But oftentimes we'll do a, and we'll turn around and keep going this way. But he says, if you'll turn from your wicked ways, and you don't need to sit in a prayer meeting and go, let me tell you my dirt, let me air my dirty laundry. But you go before God and you say, Lord, look at my heart. It's so filthy today. I need you. He says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. God, beautiful God, simply promises, guys, to hear the prayer of his humble, prayerful, seeking, repentant people. And then he brings forgiveness to his people in healing their land. In healing their land. It's a beautiful verse. Look at it again real quick in verse 14. If my people will say, Lord, we're your people, are called by your name, Lord, we humble ourselves tonight and we're going to pray and we're going to seek your face and we're going to cry out to you. And Lord, we're going to turn from our wicked ways. He goes, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. If the United States of America would just do this verse, we would be in a lot better shape. Well, back in Nehemiah, the fourth thing we see is the view of their relationship with God. Look at verse 10. He says, now these are your servants and your people, whom you've redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. What's Nehemiah talking about, guys? Remember, these are the same people that were redeemed, and they had been redeemed from Egypt by the power of God. You remember that? This is where they've been redeemed, you know? And so again, think about it. This is like, wow, these are your servants, your people. And I would love to say that here. I said, Lord, these are your servants, your people, whom you've redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. It's more than a religion. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. And you go, well, Ben, I have a question then. What does it mean to have a real relationship with God? Well, a real relationship with God involves, guys, receiving communication from God. Part of our prayer life, listen, part of our prayer life is not simply a monologue to God. And this is what I want, and this is what I want, and this is what you should do, and da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, amen. And then, It's a dialogue. We're going to talk back and forth. Lord, here's my heart. And then read his word and then talk and pray some more and read his word and pray some more and look up words and circle and let those things just jump out, you know, and that's receiving the communication. But I'll tell you where it gets even deeper. When you let the scriptures read you, we can read the word of God, church. And here's the exhortation. Let the scriptures read. Lord, where am I in this text? And the beautiful thing of the Holy Spirit, he comes and he knocks and goes, you're right here. And it gives you an opportunity to go, oh, Lord, I didn't see that. I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. Well, how do we talk to God? Well, let me tell you this. The communication, more than not, comes from his word. It comes from his word. It comes from listening and studying and praying. I am a sign guy. I'm a sign guy. I want a sign. I want God to show me signs. Okay? And God often just does not listen to me about signs. And I say, Lord, I know wicked and perverse generation and seek a sign, but I need a sign. Show me what we're supposed to do. And he says, no, you're going to need to study. You need to seek me like this. You need to seek me. A real relationship with God, church, if you're taking note, it means opening our hearts to God's unconditional love through Christ. It's unconditional. You see, because when we understand that, it stirs up a passion to love people, and then it allows us to feel secure in him. That's a real relationship. But when your mind is in the book of Nehemiah, they don't have that security because the walls are down. The walls are busted. The gates are busted. The enemy's attacking. The enemy's, all of this is going on, and they're feeling very insecure. Wait a minute. I left everything in Babylon. I had a nice 2-chariot, you know, car garage, and I had all this stuff, and I was doing really well, but I really felt the burden to come back, and I didn't want to come back, and now look what I have to do. And so what does Nehemiah do? Look at verse 11. Oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day. I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. Guys, notice. Nehemiah finishes his amazing prayer. The starter wire is on. And he asks God to bless him when he would soon speak to the king of Persia in this matter. Lord, please. Nehemiah is going to do something about the sorry state of Jerusalem's walls, the people, but he knows without God's intervention, he can do nothing. How does that apply to you? Well, I think it's a great application. The next time you got to talk to your boss about something, you go to the Lord in prayer first. Lord, help me. You got to go before me. You got to soften his heart for what I'm about to say. I think it works great for people who are married. If you have to talk to your spouse, always pray before. If there's a deep subject you've got to talk about, hey, Lord, please go before me. This is what he's saying. I want you to bless this matter. I want you to bless this. You pray. He's going to speak to the king of Persia about something that's really, really breaking his heart. But I want to show you something else about Nehemiah, something that really blesses me. You go, why? I want you to notice that last part. You go, what's the last part? He says, oh, by the way, I was the king's cupbearer. You see that? That's the last he put in there. I want this to penetrate our hearts. And you go, why? If we really pray for change, then here's what we might expect. The king's cupbearer would have to sacrifice comfort and the security of the palace for the rigors and dangers of a life in a ruined city. Luxury for Nehemiah would be replaced by ruins. Prestige would be replaced by ridicule and slander. This is what he's saying. Oh, I was the king, but there's something happening in my heart. There's something changing in my heart. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, are we ready to leave behind the comforts of the palace to take up the toils of encouraging a beaten people and finishing an almost impossible task? Are we ready to sacrifice those things of comfort to us to do what God has called us to do? This is what Nehemiah is doing. somehow Nehemiah had this beautiful connection because he's saying to the Lord, Lord, we want to see a miracle. I'm here in Susa. I'm here in the cupboard. I sleep in a really comfortable bed every night. This is great. I mean, this is comfortable. But you did something in my heart, because when I asked my brothers how things were in Jerusalem, it tore me apart. And you know where Nehemiah got? It goes to the place where we need to get. None of this matters. Nehemiah's tent pegs weren't so deep that he couldn't go, okay, I've got to go. I've got to go. He goes, okay, I need to pray. I need to pray. I need to pray. This is where Nehemiah is. And guys, as we kind of close, because we're not gonna hit it anymore. This is the last of chapter one. I wanna leave you with two takeaways, and we're gonna talk about them a little bit, okay? First, we're gonna talk about the man Nehemiah. And then the second, we're gonna talk about Nehemiah's prayer. So let's buckle up for a little bit. We're gonna talk about Nehemiah the man. Okay, four qualities we should possess. Four qualities as a believer. First of all, we see that Nehemiah was a man of humility. A man of humility. Notice the very last thing in this chapter. You go, what's that? He never brags about being the cupbearer. I don't know about you, but I think that would have been something I put first. Oh, by the way, I'm Nehemiah, king cupbearer. How you doing? Yeah, been the cupbearer for, you know, X amount of years. Yeah, I've got a great job. Very, very well secure, very taken care of. But he's a man of humility. Because being the king's cupbearer didn't matter. It didn't matter. You know, what mattered was what God was doing in his heart, was pushing in his heart, was already working in his heart. That's a quality you and I need to possess. We need to be men and women of humility. It doesn't matter how blessed we are, how God uses us and he blesses. Amen. But we don't walk around, hey, well. Another thing I believe the heart of the Christian needs to have is the same thing that Nehemiah had. He was a man of compassion. He was a man of compassion. And I challenge you today, church, are you people of compassion? Do you see people and it breaks your heart and you're like, man, I've got to do something. A heart of compassion. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. A man of prayer. I can convict every one of us in this church right now by simply saying, how's your prayer life? Oh, Pastor. Because no matter how you pray, we always want to, we should do better. But the point is that are we praying? And are you believing in prayer? Are you trusting God in that prayer? And are you trusting in his sovereignty that he knows your situation and he's got it all in the palm of his hand? I'm preaching to myself now, so like y'all can listen or not, but that's how it's like, Lord, are you God? Yeah. Yeah. Had a friend of mine reach out to me on Monday, and he just moved his family to Arkansas. And, you know, when he was moving, he told me all about it, how God moved on his house, got an offer on his house, sight unseen, cash offer, blah, blah, blah. God, they're moved, but now they're kind of running into a little rough time. And he said, hey, this ever happened to you? Oh, yeah. I moved my family out of New Mexico for business, not spiritual, for business. And I remember it was an adventure and my kids are little and we're moving. And you know what? I remember looking out the window the first day in our rental home and cried, going, what did I do? What did I do to my family? It was so like, and so, yeah, I was able to minister him. But the thing about it is that, listen, the one thing that a friend of mine told me that I was able to repeat is that when you're in that situation, you know what my friend said? He said, is God God or not? He told me, I was sitting on the stairs of my basement going, oh, God, I miss my church. I miss everything. And he goes, is God God or not? And that's what I told him. Is God God or not? He's going to see you through. He's going to see you through. The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. He's going to see you through. Let me give you the last one, and then we'll jump into prayer. Nehemiah was a man who was available. Available. You see, he had humility. He had compassion. He was a man who prayer, but he was also, you go, whoa, 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 stop, Ben. No, he wasn't. He had a job. He was a king cupbearer. No, he was willing and is willing to leave that job to do what God has called. I'm here. I'm ready, Lord. What do you have for us? I'm ready. The qualities we should possess is to be available. What do you want me to do, Lord? Oftentimes we negate our calling because we go, oh, well, I'm not qualified to do that. No, you know what God says? Are you available? Okay. Sometimes in ministry, we look for people who we feel has a calling or they're gifted in that area. But a lot of times we just need to see a heart. And when we see a heart, we can train the rest. We can train someone to just do the particulars of the ministry. But if they have a heart, it makes it so much easier. Four qualities that Nehemiah possesses that I want to possess. Nehemiah's prayer. You ready? And we'll close with this. These are four essentials to prayer. You ready? Number one, pleading the mercy of God. Pleading the mercy of God. That's what Nehemiah does. He pleads and he says, Lord, here are the mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. Number two, the essential to prayer life is confessing sin. Confessing sin. Lord, forgive us of our sin. Number three is acknowledging the rightness of God's judgment. Lord, you are sovereign. And that's an essential of Nehemiah's prayer that we see in just this text is he was asking for success in the next steps. What do I do next? Lord, give me some success. Go before me. Talk to my boss. Talk to four essentials to prayer. Father, we thank you tonight, and we want to take just a moment to pray. Lord Jesus, we might be here this evening and we haven't connected the firewire with the starter wire, Lord. We haven't connected the starter wire. We don't have that connection with you, Lord. And so tonight, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you want us to connect that. And so, Jesus, sometimes that means confessing our sin. Sometimes that means just laying before you and saying, Lord, just do a work. The biggest connection that we miss in our life is that we haven't connected to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so maybe you're here tonight and that's an issue. You haven't connected with him. You've gone to church, you've played church, but you haven't connected. And maybe tonight's the night God is calling. He's knocking on your heart to connect with you. He's saying, hey, I want to come inside. I want to forgive you. I want you to repent. I want to be your Lord and Savior. I want to reconcile you. I want you in heaven, the Lord says. You've got to say yes to him. But see, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. All I can do is offer you an opportunity to say yes. This is where the real work begins, church, when we can be serious with God and we can pray and we can take some time to pray. If you're here today and you need prayer, we'd love to pray with you. We want to surrender our life to Jesus once and for all. And I say, Lord, I'm yours. And it's not about like, oh, I've did it before. It's like, just tonight, Lord, just tonight, me and you, Lord, I surrender. I don't want to surrender some. I want to surrender all tonight. So again, with every eye closed and every head bowed, wherever you are tonight, if you need prayer, just grab somebody and say, will you pray with me? You know the essentials of prayer, trusting the Lord. We ask this in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. In Christ.
That's all the time we have for today, and that closes chapter 1 of Nehemiah. Next time on the Hope Restored series, Nehemiah's private prayer turns into public action. As chapter 2 begins, we'll see what happens when burden meets opportunity, and how God opens doors no man can shut. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace, and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days. A feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast, with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.